Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. So glad that you've joined us here on this Monday as we start a whole new series that is yet connected to last week's series. If you were with us last week, you know that Derek was talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And if you missed any of that marvelous series, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org and listen to all of it as much as you want. This week, Derek's going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Man, do we need both in our lives, the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. But what's the difference? What's the difference between the gifts and the fruit? And how do you grow the one and walk in the other? And how do they flow in your life? These questions are so vital for living the Christian life successfully. So get something to write with, get your Bible, call your friends together, and just be committed to this series in the coming week as we learn how to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us.
I've been sharing with you on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. This week, I shall be sharing with you on what I may call the opposite side of the coin. That is, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We find the nine forms of the fruit of the Holy Spirit listed in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let me just repeat that list. The fruit of the Spirit, nine forms: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, in the days that follow, I'll be dealing with each of the nine forms of fruit in turn. We need to bear in mind that both fruit and gifts are equally from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts. The Holy Spirit brings forth the fruit. Both are equally the will of God. God wants His people to exercise gifts. God wants His people to bring forth fruit. There is no conflict between the two. Unfortunately, there's a tendency within the body of Christ for groups to line up on opposing sides. One group takes the attitude, well, we have the fruit of the Spirit, we don't need the gifts. And the other group tends to take the opposite attitude, well, we have the gifts of the Spirit, we really don't need the fruit. Each group is wrong. Each group is out of line with Scripture. For it is the clearly revealed will of God that all believers bring forth fruit and exercise gifts. You may say, well, what's the difference between fruit and gifts? I'll give you a brief, simple explanation. Gifts are given and received in a single, brief transaction. They cannot be earned. They cannot be worked for. On the other hand, fruit comes by a process of gradual growth, and it needs to be cultivated. It's a significant fact that almost anywhere in the world today, it would be impossible to market fruit that had not been deliberately cultivated. To make a vivid picture of the difference, we can consider two trees, an apple tree and a Christmas tree. An apple tree bears fruit, and a Christmas tree bears gifts. The fruit that comes on the apple tree comes by a process of gradual growth, and it depends on a number of different factors if it's going to be good fruit. On the other hand, the gifts on the Christmas tree are placed there by a single brief act and taken from the tree by a single brief act. So the apple tree is an example of fruit. The Christmas tree is an example of gifts. We might sum it up this way. Essentially, gifts represent ability or power. Fruit represents character. Now each needs the other. Gifts or power without character are dangerous. They're rather like a young man with a new sports car who has no control of himself and doesn't know how to drive. Turn him loose in such a car and he'd probably make a wreck. So gifts or power, whichever way you like to describe it, without character are dangerous. On the other hand, character without gifts is ineffective. Christian life is more than just offering people sympathy. It's a saying that's rather pleasing to me. I heard someone say once, I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. I believe that's what a Christian ought to be, part of the solution. But it takes the gifts to make us part of the solution. It's one thing to be sympathetic with a sick person, but it takes faith or a gift of healing or a working of miracles to meet the need of that sick person. The perfect example is Jesus. He had the perfect fruit of the Spirit in his life and character, but he also exercised the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit enabled him to express his character in action. So we need both, gifts and fruit. I've said that fruit has to be cultivated. Now I want to give you some brief directions as to how fruit should be cultivated. Let's look first of all at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, where Paul says this, "The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops, or the produce, or the fruit." Paul there brings out a very simple basic fact. Cultivating crops or fruit takes hard work. It is not done without effort. And that is equally true of the fruit of the Spirit. To cultivate it requires hard work. I want to suggest to you four things you need to do to cultivate spiritual fruit in your life. First, you need to study God's Word. God's Word is the basis of all God's provision for us. If we're not familiar with His Word, we almost inevitably go without many of His provisions. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says again to Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." So in order to handle the word of truth, that's the scripture, the word of God, accurately, you have to be a workman. It takes time. In a certain sense, you have to roll up your sleeves and get with it. The second direction I would give you is spend time in prayer. And by prayer, I mean not merely talking to God, but what is just as important, maybe even more important, is listening to God. Here again, Jesus provides us with the perfect pattern. The whole basis of Jesus' earthly ministry was his relationship with his Father. And in order to cultivate and maintain that relationship, Jesus took plenty of time in prayer, very often early in the morning. And there he heard the Father's voice and received his direction for his ministry.
Boy, if there was ever a truth that needs to be emphasized, it's the one Derek just taught us, that the gifts are given, but fruit has to be cultivated. One of the great callings on our lives as believers is that we cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. And Derek's going to teach us more about this as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day. How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95. To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you. Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I really am happy that you've joined us on this Monday because we're launching a whole new series on the fruit of the Spirit. Now, last week we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and if you missed any of that, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org. But today we're learning how to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. This is so vital. Let's listen.
The third direction I would offer you is this. Cultivate fellowship. Don't try to lead the Christian life on your own. The scripture says that we're all members of one body and we all need one another. I often think of David going out to meet Goliath. You remember that the weapons he took were just 5 smooth stones from the brook. Why did those stones have to be smooth? Well, of course, they wouldn't have been accurate if they hadn't been smooth. Any lumps or unevenness on them would have made them unreliable and inaccurate in their flight. They might have cost David his life. Why were the stones smooth? Because they'd been lying in the brook. What had happened to them in the brook? Well, first of all, water had been passing over them regularly. Secondly, they'd been jostling against one another and rubbing off the sharp edges. Now, I believe when the Lord Jesus Christ wants to find Christians he can use, he goes to the brook. He goes to the place where the pure water of God's word has been flowing over them and washing them and rounding them off, and secondly, where they've been in fellowship with one another and rubbing off the rough edges against one another. So cultivate fellowship, and it will make you into a smooth stone. The fourth and final recommendation I have for you is submit to discipline. Fruit does not come in any person's life without discipline. And I have in mind 2 main forms of discipline. First of all, self-discipline, your own personal discipline, the way you organize your life. Even simple things like when you get up, what you eat, what you wear, how clean you keep yourself. All that's essential to cultivating fruit. But beyond that, I believe every Christian in normal situations should be subject to church discipline. He should be a member of a church and under the authority of the church leaders and subject to their discipline. So those are my 4 recommendations. Study God's word, spend time in prayer, cultivate fellowship, submit to discipline. I'm going to deal with the first form of fruit, which is love. I need to say, first of all, that love is primary in the Christian faith. It occupies a place of importance which it shares with nothing else. Listen to what Jesus says in John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. There are certain things we need to see about those words of Jesus. First of all, love is a commandment. It's not an option. If we do not love one another, we are disobeying the Lord. Secondly, it's the new commandment. In a certain sense, it supersedes and sums up and includes all the previous commandments. It's interesting to note that Moses gave Israel 10 commandments, and in Judaism, they have 613 commandments. But the Lord Jesus left behind 1 new commandment, that we love one another. Then also we need to acknowledge that this is the real test of discipleship. Francis Schaeffer has summed this up in the statement, "The Lord has given the world the right to judge the church." If the people of this world see us as Christians not loving one another, then they have a perfect right on the authority of the words of Jesus to say that we are not his disciples. All right, what's the nature of love as we understand it in the New Testament? Let me say briefly that In the Greek of the New Testament, of the New Testament period, there are four main words, all of which refer to some kind of love. The first is eros, which, as you doubtless know, refers to sexual love or sexual desire. The second is a word storge, which probably could be best translated affection, and especially about family affection. The third is philia, which means friendship. The fourth is agape, which denotes pure and enduring love, primarily as manifested by God himself, though there are places in the New Testament where it is used of love other than the love of God. But normally, agape refers to love that originates from God himself. All right, how does love come? How is it produced? I've said that all fruit has to be cultivated. How do we cultivate love? I want to suggest to you four simple principles about the cultivation of love, agape love, the kind of love the New Testament deals with. First of all, love of this kind is born from the seed of God's word received into a believer's heart. This is brought out by the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God. Notice the central part of what Peter says, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again of the seed of the Word of God. In other words, it's being born again of the seed of God's Word that makes it possible for us to love with this kind of love. Initially, it's the product of the seed of the Word of God.
You know, one of the great things about Derek Prince is that he teaches a topic in a holistic fashion. And this idea that the gifts need to be submitted not only to Scripture, but to church leadership and to the self-discipline that the Holy Spirit gives us, it's powerful, it's balanced, it's whole, and it can set people free. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day. How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95. To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you. Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I hope you've been with us all day today as we've launched this new series on the fruit of the Spirit. If you're just joining us, you can hear what you've missed at derekprince.org. Now, Derek has just begun to touch on such an important topic, which is the connection between the fruit of the Spirit and the love of God. Let's listen.
The second principle is that love is poured out by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says this, "The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." The heart of the born-again believer becomes a vessel for God's love. A person who has not been born again has no vessel suitable to contain God's love. But when we are born again, our hearts become vessels for God's love, and then the Holy Spirit can pour out the love of God into our hearts. So that's the contribution of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, cultivating this kind of love requires the cooperation of our will. We're so used today to love which is emotional or physical that some people hardly recognize there's a different kind of love which is not centered in the emotions, it's not centered in the physical body, but it's centered in the will. Agape love centers in the will. It comes primarily from the decision and the set of our will. It does not depend upon our emotions or our physical sensations. Fourthly, this kind of love is expressed in action by laying down our lives. John 15, 12 and 13, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Jesus said, this is a commandment. I pointed out it's not an option. That you love one another, how? Just as I have loved you. How was Jesus' love for us expressed? By laying down his life for us. If we love one another, then we are obligated to lay down our lives for one another. This is brought out again in 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. See, that's the essence of agape love. It's laying down our life, not necessarily as a martyr through physical death, but by making ourselves and what we possess and our abilities and talents available to our brothers in Christ. That's laying down our lives for our brothers. The expression of agape love.
You know, I want to take just a moment and help us apply what Derek has been teaching so powerfully. I have a friend who says he's going to humorously write a book, and the title of that book is going to be Demons I Have Known and Loved. And I love that title because the point he's making in the book, if he ever actually writes it, is that we like the very things about us that are the worst strongholds. His point is that, we like the fact that we have a temper. We like the fact that we're impatient. And so we hold on to those strongholds. Well, he's talking about it in the context of the demonic and deliverance, but we can speak of it in the same way when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. We do not have the right as Christians to look at our natural personalities and say, hey, you know what? I've got a temper, but so what? I'm Irish, or so what? That's my family's nature. Or, hey, I'm impatient and that's just the way I am. And isn't it great? And you're just going to have to deal with it. You know what we have to do? We have to hold our character and our personalities up against the character and the nature of Jesus and say, where do I need to conform? This is where we need to yield to the working of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to urge you to do a fruit inventory. Take a moment, take some time, look at the fruit of the Spirit as they're listed in the Scriptures. Look at the characteristics of Jesus and ask yourself, where have I in essence built a high place? Where have I built a stronghold? Where have I begun to honor in my life and the way I conduct myself certain patterns that are not really of God? I, for example, know that I am incredibly impatient. And because I'm often in a leadership role, people can sometimes let me get away with being impatient in an ungodly way and mistake it for leadership, when in fact, it's something that I need to repent of and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through. And so let's, as Derek continues to teach us throughout this week, be holding our lives up against the Word of God and be quick to repent and quick to welcome a fresh work of the Holy Spirit. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today, but there's so much more to come throughout the week. Be sure and join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's new book, You Shall Receive Power. Available to Derek Prince Legacy Radio listeners for only $9.95. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Take a moment to jot down our toll-free number, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.